Okay, gentlemen, our next item is subdivision 2006-31, South Shore Builders, request for reconsideration of preliminary approval.
This item was deferred at the January 17th special meeting. The applicant's attorney is requesting that the commission reconsider the condition of approval number two that eliminated lots 11 through 16, and I previously provided you with a copy of this applicant's attorney's letter.
Okay. Unless
you have any questions.
All right. So I believe there's someone here on behalf of the applicant if you wish to hear from him, Mr. Burton.
I would like to.
I thought there was. Yes, I believe we. Mr. Willard.
Somebody.
Yeah, you.
I'm somebody. Please.
You're somebody. The man of the hour right now.
Well, I'm trying to be brief.
This is your 15 minutes of fame right here.
I'm trying not to take it off. Excuse me one second. John Maurice here with Kircher. He was the project engineer. In the back, almost back row there, is Mike Emmett and Joe DeFrancesco. They're the principals of South Shore Builders.
Okay.
And they actually build homes, do some small developments, and they see them through. They've done a few projects in Sussex County. I think maybe I'm breaking new ground here, and I know at what we're doing is asking you to reconsider your decision, not on this whole subdivision. On November 14th, Mr. Burton made a motion to approve the subdivision for all the standard reasons that you give for subdivisions that complied with 99.9C, but for condition two, eliminated the six lots in the rear of the property. Your code 99.39 simply says an applicant may request in writing that a commission reconsider a condition imposed by the commission, but there shall be no appeal from the decision of the commission in such request. Just an aside, I have transcripts from the hearing because we also appealed to county council because the law requires we do it in a certain amount of time. Our preference is obviously, hopefully, to convince you maybe that we can add something to this that will assuage your concerns, but we had to go ahead and appeal, otherwise we lose it, so I just protected that option. On November 14th, you added the condition number two. Well, just to remind you of the project, this is north of Ellendale. It's about 3 or 4 miles north of Ellendale. It's a rather small, modest subdivision for 24 lots. They're 33 acres. It's an AR1 subdivision. All the lots are 3/4 of an acre. The ones in the rear of the property are larger, like this one, for example, is 54,000 square feet. By condition two of your decision, basically you eliminated all those lots, and the condition just says lots 11 through 16, there shall be no lots 11 through 16. Presumably what that means is we would have to redesign to the cul-de-sac there or leave the road. I don't think that's the case, and that would be part of the subdivision, would be open space. That's about a third of the property. In your decision, there are two main reasons, and I give you this by way of refreshing your recollection. If you already know, I apologize. But the concerns about wetland filling and the concerns about deforestation. There were a couple other 99.9C concerns that are raised actually in your motion to propose the condition two, involving the disconnect and integration and to preserve open space. I wrote the commission a letter on December 12th, and I commend it to you. It's my argument why some of these reasons, I think, can be refuted. Primarily, it seemed to me that the commission relied on a letter from DENREC that came pursuant to PLOS or the TAC comments. This letter is not, it's from DENREC, Delaware Natural Heritage and Endangered Species Program, the comments for projects in Sussex County to be reviewed January 7th, and it includes about 4 or 5 projects. This is the division of DENREC, as you know, that's their job is to look out for animals and creatures and forests. If you look at all their comments in that January 7th comment letter, there are four or five subdivisions: Bridge Branch, Meadow Ridge Estates, Timberview, and as well as ours. In every one of them, they recommend, in some degree or another, limiting lots, and also they suggest limiting 20 lots to preserve animals and forests. I mean, that's their motive. What we think we did is strike a compromise between the development and trying to preserve as many trees as possible. I think, first off, one reason we decided to make this step to come to you, and we know reconsideration is kind of an uphill battle, having you change your mind, is because the uniqueness of this property, its name alone was Winding Brook, was to focus on this feature of the property, which is a small brook and woodland at the back of the property where it opens up. And by eliminating all those lots, it basically makes a very mundane sort of strip development, and that was not their intention, and that's why we want to continue to pursue this. One of the reasons for the condition two was a disconnect, and you know, you can. There's no 99C provision of the disconnect. I guess what the Wildlife Natural Resource Division is saying is just the difference between forest and farmland. When you have that, then arguably it should not be part of the same subdivision. We don't think that makes sense. Perhaps the strongest one that they argue in their letter was that there would be wetland filling and wetland disturbance, and that was part of your reason to eliminate those lots totally. And in our presentation to you, we included a lot of information on the timber bridge, and we included that as a condition. DLDOT recognizes timber bridges, DENREC recognizes timber bridges, and the beauty of timber bridges is there is no wetland disturbance, or to be more accurate, there's very minimal, and I believe Mr. Murray might be able to comment on this, that they're built with pilings, and so I don't think the Corps even requires permitting for them. So there's no wetland filling involved in the timber bridge. In fact, we believe, based on this project, that would be one of the more positive features of it. Not only because it doesn't disturb wetland, but because it leads to a more interesting area of the development. As to any other wetland filling, there's none. There's no lot in the wetlands. The DENREC letter, which is incorporated in your decision, also talks about wetland buffers, and they do in their comments for Winding Brook as well as their comments to every other one. And we know that wetland buffers is an issue, as are forested buffers. In fact, well, you all know, or councils may be more aware of the forested buffer ordinance that's been kicking around for a long time, and they haven't approved it yet. What the developers proposed is to minimize any forest removal in those six lot areas. Now, of course, those are just words, and there's no law that says there has to be a buffer. So what we've proposed, at least to today, is a 30-foot environmental conservation easement to be imposed along the entire western border, here, and along all of the wetland border of which just touched those four lots. If it's appropriate, I'll hand that to your lawyer. This easement, which has been used before and have been recognized, I think, by the commission before, would be in every deed for those six lots. It would be in the restrictive covenants. It would be on the plot that would be recorded if it were accepted. And it, I handed all mall to you. I'm sorry.
No.
I have one back.
Yeah.
You don't mind? Sorry about that. And this is just proposed conditions to make it easy for you if you're all inclined to go our way on this. But I think it's something that addresses your concern most of all. That plot would say lots 11 through 16 shall be subject to the 30-foot environmental conservation easement as located on the final record plot with the following restrictions: no tree removal except deadwood, no alterations to topography, no paved or concrete surfaces shall be allowed, and no accessory structures including sheds, gazebos, or swimming pools shall be allowed. So it gives you the forested buffer. Mr. Murray, I think at the last time you looked at this for reconsideration, represented to you that he expects less than 50% to be disturbed anyway, but this would give some teeth into, I think, your concerns that we want to protect the forest that's behind that, or at least give some buffer, and also protect it for that wetland. And that's what we offer you today, is some change in the application as far as just adding a protection for the forest land. Because in essence, your statute doesn't call for anything specific. There's just the general reference in 99C to minimization. And I can tell you, this applicant believes in that.
Mr. Willard, the conservation easement that you've talked about, the 30-foot, is that, I couldn't tell where you're pointing. Is that like around each lot, or is it around the perimeter? Or just, we've got something for the record that shows.
It would be, and I tried to describe it in prose as far as the condition. It would be 30 feet all around here. That setback, that actually setback line, I think, is 20, so it would go into that even further. And then it would be starting from the wetland line, which is here. So that addresses two concerns: one, the deforestation, and also any concerns about buffering the wetland. And if you recall, BSA had probably a 50-page wetland. They spent a lot of wetland work on this, and BSA is also involved in this project, which, if we are able to do it, the Timber Bridge project, it won't be cheap. But we believe, like I said, it's a very important feature of this whole development, and will enhance other developments around it. But that's what we're proposing for the environmental conservation easement.
So it's the areas that are shown as green, not the easement doesn't cover like all those lots. In other words, it's not like.
No, it would intrude into the lots, and it would be part of the lots. The owner would be restricted to not doing the things.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if it was a 30-foot or some sort of easement that's surrounded each lot.
Around the perimeter of each lot.
Yeah. No, just the right. Border, because that wouldn't make much sense. Obviously, those lots are pretty big, 50, right. 50 or 55. They're going to try to preserve those for the reasons stated, that they enhance the development and the value of the lot, quite frankly.
Pat, you have a question?
Yes. If approved, would you agree to somehow monument or fence or somehow field mark, delineate the interior boundary of that easement so that there's no encroachment in tree removal or anything else?
My instinct says absolutely, because otherwise the homeowners wouldn't be able to deal with it. And that's okay. The whole purpose of it, if you want to add something to the condition. So.
And also, if approved, would you move the building restriction line so that it does not encroach on the buffer? I think you said it would be within it.
Yeah, by the mere restrictions of the easements itself. Well, I see what you're saying. So it would be 15 feet from the easement line, instead of, you could almost have a zero.
So that if it's a rear property line, for example, if the property line were less than, if the setback were less than the easement, then in theory, the property owner could build a outbuilding or whatever within that easement area, regardless of what your restriction says. It's a double insurance on the restriction.
Yes, I understand, and I would say yes. Otherwise, one of those lots is strange shape, so I'm not sure if it would be practical and what the number would be, whether it would be 10 feet from the easement, 5 feet, or 15 or 20. I don't
necessarily mean that it has to be in addition to the easement, but just so long as the setback is not within the easement.
Oh, that's, yeah, it couldn't be, because the easement says that there can be no building on the easement.
I know what it says, but I'm trying to get a better visual so that
there's no question. There'll be no activity in the forested easement other than deadwood.
What the council is suggesting is that the proposed restrictive covenants, the setbacks and the restrictions match the easement.
That's correct. So there's no conflict.
Rather than 20, it'd be 30.
Right.
In the rear, basically.
Right.
Again, if that's approved.
Yeah. Just a question. You mentioned that those are kind of large lots back there. Is there a reason why the lots couldn't be pulled out of that conservation easement area so it's open space and they wouldn't be part of the lots?
Maybe John could answer that. I think they think it's more effective and more valuable to have, well, number one, if you have the restriction, then it's something the individual property owner owns. It gives their property value. It's something, that they're responsible for. Rather than maybe if it's open space, then you promote more traffic back there and maybe, in fact, more disturbance to the wildlife.
Would septic be included in this restriction?
John, can you answer that question? Because we've done extensive soil studies on this, and there's feasibility. Can you come forward for a second? Did you hear Mr. Burton's question?
You're referring to that aside from building that no septic systems would be permitted within those areas?
Murray, I know we know who you are. But need
for the record, John Murray with Kocher Engineering. Correct. When the soils investigation was done, we found there were no limitations with the soils on the site in terms of having one area or another where there were no areas of denial, of course, with the exception of, in their investigation, the wetland areas, and there would be no septic in that area in any case. So there would be no need to place a septic within that area, and I would think that would be covered in the restrictions.
A would say no tree removal, B would say no alteration to the topography.
Can he address Mr. Robinson's question about is there enough area there to make that open space? I got the same concern. If it's not in the lot lines, they're not going to be able to do anything anyway. Even with deed restrictions, who's going to state that they can't build in that deed in that area there? If it's open space and that's not part of their property.
Well, the owner now can restrict part of their property, and that's exactly what we're doing is saying for this whole swath of land that surrounds that property in the wetland, owner, if you buy one of those lots, you can't touch this, you can't cut down trees, you can't...
I can say, well, it's my land, I'll do what I want to with that land. And who's going to stop them? It's already been done.
That's a legal question, whether the enforcement of the covenants...
Also, I think what they're proposing is that it would be shown on the final record plan, too, that the easement would be there. So in addition to the... typically in the restricted covenants, it would also be on the county's record.
I just feel if it's not their property, then they know it's not their property.
Oh, if somebody violated these restrictives that they recorded, it would definitely be actionable. The one that you did recently, you may recall that development Sweetwater that went into Millsboro Pond. It was kind of a unique shape just south of Stokely.
Mm-hmm.
You all approved conservation environmental easement to go around the whole area. And it was sort of the same idea. Don't mess with this. Don't touch it. This is the property owners because they didn't want a lot of traffic there. But it's a way to do what I think the wildlife people's sentiments are and give you some assurance, if that's your goal, that's what's going to happen. Another concern that they had, that letter that was cited for that condition, was that there was stormwater in a wetland forested area. And there's woods around here, and the stormwater has been... moved, so it's an absolutely no wooded, no forested area. So we eliminated that concern too. But we had done that prior to the presentation before. So.
Chairman, question?
Sure. Yes, sir.
Mr. Willard, are there currently proposed any buffers from these wetlands? Or are you talking about this conservation easement as in lieu of a buffer? Because I know that the commission, at least the projects that I've have had close to heart, have required a minimum 50-foot buffer from any wetlands.
Well, what what you require as far as conditions and what the statute says may be two different things. To answer your question, there was no buffer requirement because you just eliminated these lots. So we're saying, I guess to answer your question, yes, it's in lieu of a buffer. We're proposing these easements so nobody could touch 30 feet of that area leading up to the brook.
And a follow-up question for Mr. Murray then. Could this project be developed with a 50-foot buffer from those wetlands?
More than likely, there would surely be some loss of lots if there were to be a 50-foot buffer.
So it might have to be reconfigured somewhat?
Yes.
Okay. Because I know we have the ongoing issue with DENREC who requests the 100-foot buffers, and I've seen them request some as many as 300 feet. But I think the commission has been pretty consistent of late in terms of requiring a 50-foot buffer from wetlands, whether they're tidal or non-tidal.
We have experience on most projects where if they are identified as state wetlands, then surely there, I think that's typically where they require the 100-foot buffer minimum from the state wetlands. When they're not state wetlands and they're federal, of course, typically we refer to the ordinance and actions passed where, you know, no lot area shall also be any delineated wetland area. And that's kind of the method that we went about with designing the project. And of course, the conservation easement, as Tim is describing, would be something, as mentioned, that would be in lieu of the buffers.
I'm sorry.
I just was going to ask, in your estimation, is this a perennial stream?
I'd have to look back at what was stated. Of course, Mr. Perry's not here, but I don't believe that it is classified as a perennial stream now.
Well, it's an intermittent stream?
I believe so. And I'd have to take a look back in the wetland delineation to get his professional classification of the stream.
I recall him referring to it as a blue line stream.
That would mean it's a perennial stream.
But I'm looking for, I have the report if you want to see it.
If it's classified as a blue line stream, it would be a perennial stream, which according to our ordinance requires a 50-foot buffer, if I'm not mistaken.
Mr. Johnson, the original approval said that no lot shall include any wetlands and that the restrictive covenants include the wetlands disclosure required by the subdivision ordinance, so that's what it said.
And I guess for the record, I have to ask again, have you considered a cluster option? Because this is an ideal circumstance for a cluster option.
I remember you asked that question at prelim, and I talked for 5 minutes and then said no. I personally haven't. Normally, when you go in with that, you might show
5 minutes and get to the yes or no. Okay,
we know.
Apparently, we've heard it before.
And John addressed it. Correct. John addressed it last time because I know that it's crawling around there. But I think you know, the project, because they're scattered resident. There's some trailer parks around here and various things. And, you know, our effort is to make sort of a country sort of development with this unique feature in the back, and calls for maybe a larger lots.
I'll just remind the commission that, too. I know the point Mr. Council's trying to make, but they do have preliminary approval for first done in lot subdivision, so that's really not, right. That's not what's on the table today anyway. So.
But I think it's relevant to the request to...
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone else? Any questions for Mr. Willard?
Thank you for giving us the time. I know this is discretionary, really, so I appreciate it.
Well, we weren't doing anything else this afternoon.
Mr. Chairman, my motion for subdivision 2006-31 for South Shore Builders is for deferral at this time.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to defer action on subdivision 2006-31, South Shore Builders request for reconsideration of preliminary approval. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.